This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Friday afternoon, or sometime Friday, mid-morning, I got the press release from the Decatur Park Board of Commissioners, and they had unanimously selected Clay Gerhardt as the incoming new executive director of the Decatur Park District. Bill Clevenger will officially retire on September 3rd, and we welcome Clay to the program. Clay, congratulations, first and foremost. I'm very happy for you. I'm happy for our Park District. I'm happy for our community. What was this process like? I really don't know what this search looked like or the interview process, but walk us through how all of this happened.
Right, Brian. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being on the show this morning. The Park Board here about 6 months ago started the process for looking for a new executive director, and they reached out to the Illinois Association of Park Districts with Peter Murphy and started the process for advertising for the executive director position and what all that would look like. Interviews were held here a couple weeks ago, and ultimately, talk with Stacey Young a little bit more about that process, but ultimately, through the interview process, the Park Board selected me, and I feel very humbled and honored to join the ranks of the great leadership provided here at the Park District.
Now, is there any, Bill Clevenger has been the executive director for a very, very long time. I mean, unusually long in careers like this to stay in a community for so many years, but he certainly did. I know you'll hear plenty of this, big shoes to fill and all that, but are you excited about a new start?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Looking at everything that Bill and the Park Board have done over the last just even 6 or 10 years, but Bill's tenure extends here at the Park District back 28 years, I think. I'm looking forward on building what's been done, but also starting to put my stamp on the Park District as we move forward here.
All right, and you certainly have the operational end down. You've been involved for a number of years since I think January of 2019 in the role of director of operations. So you've been able to oversee a lot of large projects that have come to fruition. Most recently with Splash Cove, the lines this weekend were crazy. I mean, it has to be gratifying to know the community is showing up and embracing that new facility.
It is. It is. We're still limited with the COVID capacity guidelines to 60% at Splash Cove. So, through the time slots, we've got two time slots throughout the day. We've got between 500 and 600 people in there at a time. And I'll tell you what, Friday and Saturday were just beautiful weather days, and Splash Cove was busting at the seams with folks. And then you go down to the amphitheater and you watch the Mummy Show. And I've got a couple spots at both Splash Cove and the amphitheater where I can kind of go hide out and just kind of see and watch what's going on. And I tell you what, there's nothing better than sitting back and just watching people enjoy life. And especially after the last year of COVID, with everything being shut down and recreational opportunities just basically being stopped, to be able to watch people have fun and again, get back to some sense of normalcy was just so overwhelming and just a great thing to see.
All right. Now, on the Friday, the 11th, this Friday, we'll be going into phase five, which means there won't be any capacity limits. What do you look forward to this weekend, and how will the Park District be ready for that?
I think at our various facilities where we've had to take reservations, we're going to pause that and go back to just normal walk-up operations. So capacity limits will increase at Splash Cove. We'll be able to go up to a little over 900 people in that facility. Same thing with the Devon. We've kind of had to pause certain tickets in certain areas in the terrace and whatnot. So we'll be able to sell more tickets to shows and kind of open things up better. So we're looking forward to the 11th as we head towards it to get really back to normal.
Okay, and then what's the process like until September 3rd? I think this is a great way to transition. You guys are going to have to be able to work side by side with Bill Clevenger until his official retirement. What's the plan between now and September 3rd?
So my title, once it's ratified by the Park Board on June 16th, will be incoming executive director. Obviously, Bill will continue in his role until he retires. But Bill and I have a great working relationship. We typically meet every morning here at the office and just catch up on what's happened over the last 24 hours or the weekend. And Bill's not going anywhere once he retires. He's got Decatur in his blood, so he's still going to be here in this community. And he will continue to be a great resource for me moving forward. forward. But no, Bill and I have already started the conversations and the process of you know, what that transition looks like, and I think it's a really, really smart decision by the Park Board to allow someone to train under Bill in earnest for the next really 3 months here before he goes into retirement. So you don't see that often, and so I think that's a really smart decision.
All right. In addition to all the other things that are happening, we've already talked about, you got a big air show coming up to celebrate, which is pretty cool. First one in like 25 years.
Yep, August 14th, 15th, be a huge air show out at the Decatur Airport. Our organizers through Dacy Air Shows tell us that the lineup we have is just an outstanding lineup for an air show. Part of that's due to COVID, as a lot of these shows have been canceled, and we were early to get on the radar for everyone for an air show this year, so we got some really good lineups and acts booked for that. So we're really looking forward to that. And that's going to be free, Brian. I think that's tremendous. Most air shows, you have to pay something to get into the show. But this is going to be free for a community and be basically a big celebration of not only the airport, the park district, but just a great thing for Decatur.
All right. Well, Clay, congratulations. And we really look forward to working with you moving forward. Clay Gerhardt, who on September 3rd will become the new executive director of the Decatur Park District once Bill Clevenger retires. That announcement made on Friday, which is pretty cool. You think about all the momentum that the Park District has. And you say, when I say momentum, you know, after a year of pause.
Right. Well, I mean, that also makes that momentum feel like it's shooting out of a cannon, because this is the first time that we're getting to see Splash Cove and sort of that vision where, you know, you pull into that parking lot and you can go do all the different things right next door at Overlook, you know, from miniature golf to batting cages, ropes course, and you could spend the afternoon at the water park and you could drive down to the amphitheater. And I mean, it has momentum. It's tangible. I mean, even Mid-State Soccer tournament's back, and I mean, just so much stuff that's just going on. It is momentum and coming out of a pandemic.
Absolutely. And all very positive. You know, I think Kevin referred to the quality of life. There are many people that think that you have to tackle things in order of like starting with charity or what needs to be done with essential things. And then you get to something when you can get to it. And I disagree. I think you have to tackle all of those things at the same time.
Absolutely. Because you've got to attract and maintain quality people. And even some of the best of people don't want to spend all their time dealing with only charity. They want to be able to live their lives happily and balance.
And I don't solely mean charity. I mean, there are certainly charitable efforts, but also efforts about, you know, helping pull people up and
right.
Give people opportunities and all of these things. But to build your tax base, you know, meaning to build your people who move here or get a new career here and then are investing in the community through their taxes, you know, you have to have quality of life.
No question about that. Yeah.
And that might mean educational choices. That might mean recreational choices. You know, it's all of the above. Check every single box. There were people who were upset that, you know, Fairview Pool was closing. And I get it. If you lived on the West End, that was kind of your family pool. Now look what we have. And, oh, by the way, you're only 8 minutes from the West End. I mean, it's not like, an hour of drive time. And now you have this incredible new facility that even at limited capacity until Friday, there's a line out the door of people towards the end of the day waiting to get in.
I couldn't believe when you said that. Well, I mean, I can believe it, but man, that visual, it's a lot of people ready to roll.
Yep, just ready to go in and enjoy the new water park. And then you think about the Devon Amphitheater, and then you think about the improvements and all the additions to Scoville Zoo, and the same with the Children's Museum and the Sculpture Park and Overlook Adventure Park, whether it's the batting cages or the ropes course or the miniature golf and so on and so on. And that was really unpopular when they were going to close Nelson Golf Course.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I love that facility. I do. I spend a lot of time there in general, and it's a good use of space. And you can still go golf on beautiful courses in the area.
Absolutely. But I was chatting with Bob Brilley at the Splash Cove ceremony, you know, when they did the ribbon cutting and all of that. And Bob ran for the park board because he was angry that they were closing Nelson Golf Course. And Nelson Golf Course had a very small mostly older population that really liked that course. It wasn't for the community at large. I mean, it was a tiny pocket of people. It was a golf course that in a day was kind of cool, but had really outlived its sort of attraction to the mainstream. You know, a lot of hills, very short, kind of on top of each other. And the seniors loved it. But you know, you have to move for the future. And so now when you think about, okay, you exchanged a golf course, and in addition for the golf course, you got a brand new water park, you got miniature golf, you got batting cages, you got ropes courses, you got an amphitheater, you got all of these things that now attract such a huge, wider, larger audience of all generations than that small clique of golfers that wanted that course to remain open forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably being used more than, you know, the golf course had been in so many years prior.
It's not even in the same conversation as far as usage is concerned.
Yeah, that's the story.
And so the story is things go away, new things come, we adapt, we change, our consumption habits change. And if you have the forethought to sort of deal with that, as the Park Board of Commissioners has, you know, in the Parks Foundation, which I'm proudly serve on that board, you just have to. Even though people don't want change until the doors open and they go, oh, my God, I love it. But right up until then.
Oh, yeah. You've got to be proactive, because what you're seeing on so many things in the world today are the lower levels of people doing those things. Doesn't mean they love them less. It just means, hey, I'm spending less time doing this and less time. And you look, if you're not paying attention, you look up and you go, man, it's like 40% less, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to be
proactive. And you've got to be careful, too. Because there was a time very early in, like, I would say Tiger Woods' career, mm-hmm. where they thought, man, we can just build all the golf courses we can build because this thing's just going to be huge. And that's what a lot of America did. They built golf courses. And now a lot of them have outlived their usefulness.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't really – there wasn't the infrastructure built underneath them, you know, and youths weren't taking to golf like – maybe they had anticipated, and so yeah, you can't just ride a phenomenon right then at the moment. You've got to see what's happening.
And then the pandemic comes and people fall in love with golf again, but they're the right proportion. I mean, enough people fell in love with golf again to fill up two golf courses.
Yeah.
You know, not five,
right.
Not four, not even three, but to get real-time use out of the two that we have and to use it to maximum capacity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like this correction that's happening with the numbers, you know, movie theaters are seeing that exact thing. We're finding that people want to see movies, but do we need four theaters with 15 screens each? Probably not.
No.
Probably never
and
again.
Particularly, and you're not ever going to get the multiplex thing, right? Which made sense when there was no other real mm-hmm. entertainment venue.
Yep. Dinner,
you know,
and
in
a movie.
Your home. was yeah, we could play the Star Wars movie on four screens, you know, mm-hmm. at one time. That's not ever coming back.
No. Nope, not in non-mega cities. No, that's over.
But even then, I don't think it's. I think it will have. We'll have some of that. But you've got to, like, the hardest thing is making the toughest decisions to play to the most people, to benefit the most folks in a way where you're not just subsidizing something that's not ever going to come back.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I mean, I look at the same thing with neighborhood parks. You know, like right now, are they vitally important to some communities? Yes. Are they vitally important to some neighborhoods? Yes. But it's not universal. You know, kids don't leave the house, you know, in the summer months where we're in right now, school's out. They don't go to the parks the way they used to.
No. Nope. And this is, we're seeing this, that you could go on and on with so many different examples. Usage patterns are changing, you know, drastically and significantly because of the advent of technology and the shifting of interests and the dilution and also the creation of more things to go divide your time up. I mean, this is
That's
a perfect
exactly
storm.
Right. And I remember, I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating. I was at the Park District for the last air show. It was the final thing that I did, the 50th anniversary of the air show 25 years ago. And the bike trails, when they first were starting, I mean, this was literally like in Fairview Park, you know, to Kiwanis Park, right? I mean, this wasn't a huge, you know, it seemed huge at the time, but the neighbors, not all, but a vocal few, were adamantly against it.
Right.
think about that. And we're sitting here 25 years later going, how could you possibly be against a bike trail? But they were.
Right. Right. And now it's a property value. I mean, the flip side is true. It's like, man, you bring that thing right by my house, it adds value. It adds personal
but
use.
At that point, it was going to detract from the value. Right. It was going to, you know, God knows whatever scenario you were going to paint. And they did. And they were incredibly vocal and incredibly loud. And then I even think about back to the days of Fairview Pool. I mean, when it first was introduced, you know, they had zero grade entry and you had it was very family friendly. But I remember distinctly one day. We had the Park Singers, which is also a program that outlived its, you know, audience, performing on a weekend afternoon and the neighbors calling in and complaining about the noise.
Oh, my.
Well, this is just human nature. But I'm saying this was 25 years ago. So neighborhood pools were once again surrounded by neighborhoods who if you didn't enjoy the pool or go to the pool, you just found it to be a noise ordinance.
Yeah, it's
problem.
Cumbersome. Yeah. It's racket.
And now you've got it in a place where it's a great big park that people come to. And there's nothing wrong with, like, Knights Action Park in Springfield. It's a fun place to go to, but it's very dated and it's very – now we have that similar thing all brand new.
Yeah. It looks so good, too. It looks so cool.
And have you had a chance to go in there yet?
I haven't. It's one of those things that I should have gone that evening, but I had too much to do. But it's, man, what am I going to do? Walk around? They're like, hey, not here to swim, just checking the place out. Well,
that's what I was doing. but I was blown away. Yeah. I mean, even having some inside knowledge of looking at the renderings and, you know, seeing what it was going to look like, sometimes it's hard to see something until it's complete for a lot of people.
Yeah,
then once it's complete, everybody jumps on the bandwagon.
Exactly right. Everybody will buy that winning lottery ticket after it's been scratched. That's for sure. And my sister lives in Champaign, and she's hearing at work people talk about going over to Decatur and checking out the water park. I mean,
absolutely. Same thing with the Devon Amphitheater. You know, people couldn't see it. Oh, we want that road open. That's the most important thing. And once it's complete, everybody goes, oh, okay, I get it now.
Right.
We'll take a break. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast. Mark Topper coming up. Don't go anywhere.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.